Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We're just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. Judgment Day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up, all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Amen, amen. To God be the glory. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. How many of us know that if we sleep our lives away, there's so much we will not be able to accomplish, especially when we speak on tonight. Oneness is driven by the process. Everything is a process, by the process of personal transformation. Just want to thank God as always for your presence. Thank God as always for allowing us all to still yet be amongst the living, to be here, to be responsible, to say, I personally want to come and learn a little bit more about how I can be a better spouse. Better yet, how about study to show yourself approved before you get married, to say to yourself, I want to know how to be the best spouse when I get blessed by our Heavenly Father with my perfect soulmate. Well, if that's where your thought process is tonight, I want you to know that you've come to the right place. As we began to dissect this word once again tonight, give you a little bit of nuggets. And how many of us know that 30, 45 minutes to an hour is no time to really go over a deep, deep drill into anything that we're talking about? What we give you are nuggets for you to then take and be able to dissect and study it even more to make you even more students of the word as it relates to your marriage or marriage to be. So we just want to first just thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you once again for entrusting this hour that you have given Jesse and I, and the hour that you give Leah Killings, Minister Leah Killings, when she comes on at 9 p.m. We know that God has allowed us an opportunity to have technology that gives us the ability to be in the comforts of our own home and still be able to go through a study, learn, grow, and prosper in whatever it is that we choose to be. And tonight just happens to be on oneness, in particular, transformation. Because we all, if we're really being honest, we all can do some transformation in quite a few areas of our lives. But as tonight, as we go forward in this study, want to say thank you in advance for being a part of the number that will usher in the Holy Spirit with me. Thanking God once again for his grace and his mercy that continues to allow us to be amongst the living, that continues to allow us to be able to do our part to help make a difference in this awesome, this wonderful, this magnificent world that God created for you and I. I want to say thank you to my lovely husband, the man of God that I call my best friend, my personal confidant. I thank God for my workout partner. I thank God that he gives us the ability to be able to pour into one another day in and day out, for us to have opportunities to utilize that word called forgiveness, for us to be able to understand and know that neither one of us are perfect. We have shortcomings. But through it all, we understand and know that it wasn't by coincidence or accident, but it was by a divine purpose from God that we came together in holy matrimony, where we understood what it means to transform from thinking about mine and going now into the mindset of ours and stop thinking about that it's just one, but now it's two, is our process of thinking. So I pray that God gives you that same ability. And tonight, as we go through some of this word that he has spoken into us, that you will be able to receive. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, we never ever can do anything without serving you first by ushering in you, Holy Spirit, to every single thing we do. Not only that we do, we say and we touch. So on tonight, no different, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We want to personally say thank you for being our mouthpiece, giving us the ability to go forward and accomplish great things. I pray tonight, Heavenly Father, that you give us an understanding heart of the things that you want us to share. Give those that are under the sound of my voice an opportunity to open up their hearts, their minds, and allow them to be able to take in everything that we share with them tonight. Let them gain understanding. Allow them, Lord God, not to be selfish and not to keep it to themselves, but when they're blessed by it, let them be a blessing to someone else by sharing the word, Lord God, that you will place in their spirit and on their hearts and in their minds to allow them to regurgitate it at the appropriate time to the appropriate people. So on tonight, Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. I pray for every marriage that's represented on our Blog Talk radio show tonight. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus for every marriage, every single individual that's here that desires to be married, that you would give them the ability to patiently wait on you and have self-control in all they do, so that you can bring them the love, the joy, and the peace that they will experience, and you bring them that powerful, awesome soulmate. So I want to say thank you in advance for blessing every individual that desires in their heart to be married and have a soulmate that they can grow old together, they can experience everything together. And so on tonight, Lord God, go and be with us all. Be with this man of the hour that will come forward with this powerful word. Give him the ability, Lord God, to continue, Lord God, to study, to show himself approved, to be able to bring a word in season for all of us to be able to grow from and learn from and be able to be better individuals, better spouses. So on tonight, Lord God, I pray for Minister Jesse and pray blessings on top of blessings for him and pray, Lord God, that whatever he says, does, and touches, you will allow it to be blessed by you. Continue to be with each and every individual that is in need of you tonight, Lord God. Those that are not 100% in their body, I pray for Commissioner Vivian Thomas as she lies in that hospital bed. I declare and I decree in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that your healing touch will be upon her. I pray for every individual that needs a healing touch from you. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will continue to order our steps, continue to give us the ability to speak life into situations, especially our children, from the youngest to the oldest. Continue to allow us to be able, Lord God, to lead, guide, and direct them and help them make the choices and decisions that they need to make, Lord God, as it pertains to life. Thank you, as always, Father God, for the privilege to pray. And I want to say thank you, Holy Spirit, again, for going and being with us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Well, amen. One more time, let everybody say amen. We praise God and we thank God for his grace and his mercy, which endures forever. For this has been a day that the Lord made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. I remember years ago when I was in corporate America working that we spoke a lot about process. And given that I was part of the chemical industry, we speak of and spoke of process all the time. The process of making and producing and manufacturing products that would be shipped to various businesses that were used as catalysts to perfect or to get to an end-use product that then you and I would deal with. Most of the products that we sold were not products that would be taken or be used by the consumer directly. So most of it was business to business. There were some exceptions, like in the area of aspirin. Many of you probably would be surprised if you knew a whole lot about aspirin, but I won't get into that tonight because I don't want to influence your current process of how you view aspirin. I'll leave that alone. Some of you may be surprised that you knew really what was in that Coca-Cola you love to drink, but I'm going to leave that alone as well. Or even perhaps the shampoo that you put on your head and the conditioner you may use. Sometimes it would be a good thing to just look at the ingredients on some of the stuff that you love to see how they are part of a unique process to make available to you that end-use product. And all of those ingredients and products go through a process that leads to a transformation of the end user, that person who may be using that particular product to extract some level of value. The same holds true for us as human beings in everything that we do. The world as we know it today is filled with all sorts and all kinds of opportunities. Yet at the same time, it is filled with confusion and with so many strategies designed to steal, kill, and destroy that process that God ordained from the beginning. See, quite often, the delivery of deception is defined or occurs in a moment, an hour, or some form of pleasure. And oftentimes, we don't think about this reality, but there's always a price that we pay for pleasure that may be considered oftentimes outside the will of God. And see, in this particular day and age, it's that pursuit of pleasure which drives much of the deception we see, because oftentimes we are being programmed and groomed to pursue some form of desire to satisfy ourselves. On the other hand, the concept of two people coming together is a risk agreement. See, when you make a decision that you're going to forsake all of those things that could bring you pleasure and have brought you pleasure in the past, you are putting it at risk. When you make a decision that you're going to be contaminated with the concept of marriage. I say contaminated simply because we live in a particular world today where many think, feel, and believe that marriage is a contamination of your own personal desire. That for whatever reason, some see being marriage as almost like going into prison. Then all of a sudden, you are not able to do all of those things that you thought were good when you were single. See, individual contamination in this regard occurs when the demands of what may be defined as good and wholesome are required as conditions of acceptance. And so now we see the world turning words backwards, inside out. What was up was down, and what was down was up. What was left was right, and right was left. And see, in this particular dispensation, especially during the last 50 years or so, we have witnessed a continued pressure to disavow the importance of marriage in the pursuit of personal pleasure. See, somewhere along the way, we got it twisted that for whatever reason, some thought that when you would become married, that you would lose the opportunity to pursue personal pleasure. That couldn't be more further from the truth. You know, peeking ahead, we know that Hebrews says in 13:4 that what you do in your marriage and what you do in that bedroom is, you know, it's all right. It's okay. It's nothing defiled in that reality. And so we see during this last 50 years or so, this increase. This was prophetically predicted, actually, in Romans. When we look at the first chapter, we see the increase that took place in sexual promiscuity, which exploded in the 1960s and the 1970s. As a matter of fact, the current generation, known as baby boomers, ushered in this new level of promiscuity, this new level of activity that wanted us to believe that pursuing the concept and the relief that we find in marriage was some kind of way just not cool. It appears, at least to us, that the increase of personal freedom in the realm of sex has rendered marriage an obsolete form of relationships. And that's so sad because it's not true. The tragedy with this thinking is the adverse impact our children experience today, not only in America, but around the world. When we believe there's little power in the intact family, a mother and a father being together in the laboratory of life, with a commitment to nurture the child as a work of art, we can then find ourselves drifting away into a world unwilling to hold itself responsible for the growth and the development of our offspring. See, sometimes we ourselves think we have moved into a moment of enlightenment, only sometimes to discover that enlightenment only led us to darkness. What happens to individuals who come together, who become married, and who have successful marriages, or to those who are not successful in marriage? The short answer is that they will need to face transformation, or they may embrace failure in their marriage relationship. Someone may ask the question, well, what do you mean? What is marital transformation in the first place? Well, transformation, we believe in marriage, is a thorough and sometimes dramatic change in the form or appearance in how we think, how we feel, and how we act, and what we do in regards to another human being and our response to them. It's about how we may have to alter, we may have to modify, convert, revise, amend, transfigure, or evolve into something fundamentally different from the who we were and are It's something that causes us to become the best we can be. See, in our commitment to marriage, we indeed embrace an induced or spontaneous change that's going to have an impact on our feelings, on our beliefs, and on our appearance as we move into something that may be different. And oftentimes it's triggered by a significant emotional and sometimes spiritual event. It does not matter what you may have done before marriage, but after you are married, it is certain transformation will take place and you will become a much broader, a much deeper, and a far more complex individual. You will not stay the same. See, marriage demands, yes, I say demands, a continuous change in your willingness to sacrifice your personal desires. It's a demand. And successful marriage demands submission to the needs of your spouse. And if you're blessed, in the support, in the love and development of your children. See, God ordained this whole institution. He said, let me create something where man would not be alone. And he created, you know the story, woman and man and woman came together. And God also said if they were blessed, they had children. And then in this process, both spouses must sacrifice time and effort to create the possibility of success in marriage. See, this is not an act that one can do by themselves. And even when you come together, it's not a guarantee in today's environment that it will indeed be successful. The main point of this presentation tonight is that we have to come to a point to where we understand the need to embrace and to imagine the changes we must make to enable and to facilitate a successful journey to oneness. See, oftentimes when we think about marriage, we think about all that we give up, it's sometimes difficult to accept and to believe that we have found ourselves in a situation to where we think we're giving up more than is necessary. I can tell you in the concept of sacrifice and giving up some of the things that you love to do, it's well worth it when you see your efforts manifest themselves and you see the things that you have been sharing with your children began to manifest in the flesh, where you are able to see that what you have attempted to impart and what you have attempted to share and give to your children begins to manifest itself in their lives. And you begin to hear them mention, speak, articulate, share with others that which you yourself may have shared with them years earlier, or perhaps even days earlier, or hours earlier. That's a confirmation in the flesh and the spirit that your children have began to internalize. They themselves have began to transform. Now we know in scripture that the word tells us that we can become that good and acceptable and perfect will of God by not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's when we become that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. See, maybe sometimes we don't look at marriage in that light. Is that in the process of marriage, we are being transformed. We are becoming something different than what we were before we were married. And we'll share, Tammy will share what some of those are in a few moments. See, there are no two people exactly alike in this world. Regardless of how similar our upbringings may have been, we know now from the sophistication of DNA that we are all uniquely different. And now we're approaching 8 billion people in this world, yet we all are uniquely different. And so when we come together and we find ourselves attracted like we were to our spouse, even though that attraction was so powerful, there was still a difference. And see, that difference is what demands a willingness to be transformed by the renewing of our minds and, of course, our actions. See, God knew that there may be someone that was born in the north, or someone that was born in the south, someone that was born in the city, someone that was born in the country, someone was born at night, someone was born in the day. Some may have had two parents. Some may have had a parent that may have unfortunately been killed. Some may have had a parent that was an alcoholic or that was abusive. Some may not have had a parent there at all. And since God knew all of these differences, he knew that even with that, there would be somebody that he could send your way that would be part of your transformation process. And see, we have to begin to understand that there is no way for marriage to work without the successful integration of this bilateral transformation. It's a necessity for both spouses. And see, we sometimes don't sit down and we have a conversation where we clinically attempt to define and isolate the transformation that is required and takes place in every marriage. But we want to tonight just look at a few of the examples there. Not all inclusive, we know that. There are many examples that we could point to that take place. But what we are attempting to do tonight is to bring it to your cognitive consciousness and improve understanding that even now, if you've been married for 6 months, 6 years, or 6 decades, you have gone through a process of transformation. You have become a different person. You're not the same person that your spouse met when you may have viewed each other and had a chance to see each other for the very first time. No, God has made it possible for each one of you to grow and to develop. And so what we like to do now, I'm just going to ask my queen, my best friend, my workout partner, you know, my challenging spouse, to just share just a few examples that will illustrate some of the transformation that we go through. And remember, when we transform, we don't lose who we are, but we refine and we retune and we expand that which God has called us to be in the first place. That core person begins to transform into something much greater, much broader than we ever could imagine or that we ever would experience if we don't move into the concept of marriage, that which we call oneness. So, Queen, I'm going to open up your mic once again and share it back to you and just ask you to share what God has placed on your spirit in regards to examples of transformation in marriage. Your mic is open.
Amen, Jesse. As I think about the marital transformation, I know as you were explaining and going over everything, just as a quick reminder, you know, when we are in transformation in marriage, we got to understand and know that it at times can be a dramatic change in the form of or appearance and how we think, feel, or even act in regards to another human being. So as we go into some of these examples, I just want us to be reminded of that. You know, there is a continuous need and demand for us to do the things that we must do so that we can continue to be in oneness in the way in which God created it for each and every one of us. When I think about the first example, Jesse, it is one that we're all familiar with. When we think about it, we go from singleness or singlehood, however you want to look at it, to being married or marriedhood. And that is pretty difficult for some people. When you're used to living by yourself, making all the decisions, you're used to leaving your home and going to work at any given time. And when you come back, everything is as it was when you left it. Your house stays the way you had it. And when you bring in another person, then you got to remember, you know, they may not do the same things you do. They may not hang up their wet towel like you used to. They may not rinse the dishes immediately after they eat like you used to. They may not desire to take a shower every single night and morning like you do. There are going to be changes that may take place when you go from singlehood to being married. There are some things you're going to have to adapt to. You're going to have to be willing in your spirit to say some of the things I just cannot sweat. Because if we allow our minds to go through those, and I will say trivia or you know, things that really shouldn't matter as much, because there are going to be so many more bigger things that you need to focus on in your marriage than some of those little minor things, but they could be major early on. So we deal with them right away. When I think of Matthew 19:11-12, Jesse, it says, state that a person who marries is to leave his or her parents and remain married. But the person who remains single does not carry the responsibility of marriage. Jesus is our model and perfect example how we should live our lives. He was single all of his life, and he lived a perfect single life. But then at the same time, we've learned, we've studied it, we understand, we know what it means when it says that the church was his bride and how he treated it. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to go through those same things that we know Jesus went through? And he is our perfect example because he walked this earth just like you and I did and do. And then when I think about it, and I think about Psalms 143:8, it says, let the morning bring new word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. And then when we read on, even in Proverbs, and we think about this same area, 3:3-4, it tells us, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet of your heart. How many of us know that it is so important for us to know what it is that God is trying to teach us in his word? His word will never come back void. It will never lead us or guide us down the wrong road. It's his word that will set us free. But how many of us know if you don't study to show yourself approved, i.e. Ephesians chapter 5, if you don't study how it is to be the perfect wife, the perfect husband, to understand and know what you're supposed to do in your marriage, you're going to fail. You're not going to be successful. So we understand and know that there's no such thing as perfection. None of us are perfect. So how about us just going into our marriage knowing that? How about us going into our marriage saying, there may be things that I used to do, but because I did it, I can't force that on my spouse. There are things that, yes, will complement your marriage, but it's how you deliver it and how you come together and work together on some of these things is how it's going to make all the difference in the world. When I think about also, Jesse, Proverbs 4:23, it tells us, mention the importance of renewing the mind. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything else you do flows from it. We know that the heart is key. When you have, so think about when you first got married. My. I can go back down memory lane, and as a matter of fact, I do it so often. I go back and I look at some of those pictures that Jess and I have taken on the various and the numerous vacations that we were taking, and I can think about the exact place we were. I can think about the exact moves we made. I can think about the times even in the bedroom, and it brings nothing but a smile on my face, because I got to understand, I'm in holy matrimony now with this man. I'm not out there going out to clubs as a single person. I'm not out there doing things, speaking on the phone, talking to people of the opposite sex, and my spouse is not knowing who those individuals are. How many of us know that that's what Satan wants us to do? He's there to steal, kill, and destroy. He only needs a little small sliver of a space to enter into. And once he's in there, he just is like roaches. He will just multiply and multiply and multiply to the point where he has you so confused that you don't know which way to go, from right to left, to front to back. So I encourage you, stay in the Word of God and understand what you did when you were single. You cannot continue to do as you grow into this marriage thing. As you accept your spouse's hand in marriage, you got to understand there are a few things that you must do. And as I think about that, Jesse, one of the things I will talk about is 2 Corinthians 10:4. It says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. How many of us know we have power, but how many of us are using it? That would be the million-dollar question. You have power, more power than you can ever imagine. And I encourage you tonight, where there's some, you know, shortfalls in your marriage, or there's some areas where you feel, think, and believe that your spouse should do things the way you do them, then there are some shortfalls. Then you got to understand that there is power in your marriage that you can come together, talk about these things, and work it out. And then when I think about James 4:7, once again, it says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many of us know that if we're not resisting Satan each and every day, out the day, he's coming in. He's coming in with a vengeance, and he's going to come in to try to destroy everything about what you've already put together. So do your part to make sure you're fighting that off. And then I will discuss, last but not least, Romans 12:2 under this area. When I talk about singleness, when I talk about being married, it's a difference, a big difference, and you got to know. And one of the things you got to do, Romans 12:2, we know that so well. We know it so well that all of us can probably speak it. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many of us know that his good, perfect, pleasing will for us to be married in holy matrimony with the spouse that he gave us? How many of us know that he also said in his word that everything wasn't going to be peaches and cream? There were going to be times when you have challenges. There are going to be times when you got to understand and know you got to work together. So I just pray that God gives us all an understanding on what we're supposed to do when it comes to understanding one of singleness versus being married. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, because when you do that, then you're causing yourself to bring confusion into your marriage, and you'll never get to being in a married mindset. You'll always be in the single mindset, and we know that you can't be successful by being that way. Then when I think about, Jesse, another area that we speak about and you and I have talked about, it says, when you go from me to us, when you go from me to us, there is a difference, a big difference, because when you think about me and you got to transform now to us, how about let's think about a few things. When you're talking about the spiritual, the mental, the financial, social, emotional, all of those things. When you were thinking about yourself, you thought about it in one form. But then when you bring another individual in, it's something totally different. And in it, when I think about those areas, Jesse, and I think about love, and I think about commitment, and then when you go from me to us, we can't get any better when you have the ability just to love someone through that commitment that you made in holy matrimony. Love at its core. We understand that love is a decision to be committed to one person or to another person. And in this particular series that we're speaking about, it's to your spouse. So it's to that one person. Sexual faithfulness. How many of us can be faithful in that area, in that space that God talks about sexual relations? Sexual relations is between you and your spouse. It should never, you should never put yourself in a position where it would be anything other than that. You're married now. Again, me versus us. So if you're out there by yourself and you got someone that's trying to come on to you, you got to use that power that I just spoke about that you have and that you have to embrace and that you got to know that you have divine power to demolish strongholds. Those are going to be things that's going to always come your way. You were probably single much longer than you were married when you're first coming together, guaranteed you are. After you've been married a while, if normally when you have some hiccups, when one or the other tries to, unfortunately, go outside your marriage and thinks that might be better. And let me just say to you that it's not. So in those situations, use the power that God has given you. Think about the patience and forgiveness. You didn't have to utilize that as much when you were single, when you were home alone. But how many of you know that sometimes just being in a house with your spouse, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for you to say, I'm sorry, or for you to accept that word when your spouse says, will you forgive me for my shortcomings? It takes a strong person to be able to do that, and I encourage you, do just that. So as I think about Philippians 4:8, before I go on to the next one, I think about finally where it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We can't get a better scripture than Philippians 4:8 to keep us on track, to say and do the things that we need to do as it relates to our spouse now. Because you know what? There are going to be things that your spouse does when it was just you, and now it's us instead of just me, and I never had to really deal with those things, especially with someone with me almost 24/7. But now I'm thinking different because now I have my spouse to love all over. I have the ability from thinking when it was just me to have the ability to process through all of these personal transformations that I need to transform into now. And know that Philippians 4:8 will get us there. And then when I think about, again, very similar but different, from mine to ours. From mine to ours. This is one of the hardest that I could tell you that most people don't understand, especially when it comes to money. Oh, my God. So many people want to think, and let's not get it twisted. I'm not going to say everybody is like that, but there's a lot of women especially that are working women. And some of these women make good money, but they want their money to be theirs. But they still want their husband to take care of their household and everything about their family with the money that he personally makes. And so when you think about that, and you think about everything that God is doing, how he's transforming now your thought process, you don't want to use that option of saying that his money is his, and ours, my money is just mine. That's not oneness. That's not thinking the way God would want us to think. So you should never think that way. God forbid if you're in a marriage, and there's a lot of marriages that's like this, that you might have two or three cars, and you are assigned a car, and you don't even have the key to your spouse's car. Whatever is your spouse's, it's yours. You shouldn't even have to ask for permission to drive your spouse's car. Just whichever car you desire to get in that day, just take it. Sometimes it's nice to be responsible to say, honey, I'm going to take the Cadillac today. Do you mind taking, you know, whatever? And then just only out of respect, because if they're used to driving a particular car, there may be some personal items that are in that car that they may need to get out of before you take it. But it should never, ever come down to an argument. As a matter of fact, some days I remember for me, if I get in a car and it's on E, I'm coming right back out of that car. And I'm going into a car that has some gas. I don't like to get gas, but I do get it. But I know usually my husband takes responsibility to make sure that the cars stay full or as close to full as possible. So we all have different views. But how many of us know that this is not something that we learn and we know how to do it each and every day? Because when you're so used to living by yourself and doing things on your own, and once you've driven your car, you know how much gas you got in. Once you know you got a bank account, you know how much money, because nobody's spending that bank money in that bank account but you. But when you become one, that's why you got to communicate even more. That's why you got to understand that I got to be on my game to the point where I understand and know everything that's going on in our marriage. So if you don't understand, go to James 1, 5, and 7. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And if you will be given to you, and it will be given to you. So if you don't know, ask God. He will give it to you. But when you ask, you must believe and know and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. How many of us know that when you're out there in that water and you're in the sea, as much as you want to be in control of your body, you have zero control. Let a wave come by and do whatever it needs to do. You have no control. Wherever that wave is going to send you, you're going to go. You don't want that kind of lifestyle for you and your spouse. You want to ask God for the wisdom that he will give to you freely so that you can be successful, but when he gives it to you, you must believe and not have doubt. So, Jesse, then I think about children, from a child to parent. You know, when we come into a marriage, most of us don't have children. Now, there's more blended families that are taking place now, and that would also be, you know, a part of this transformation that you got to get used to. You have not been used to being with children. I.e., when I married my husband, I married into a blended family, and with that, I will say that it was not easy, but I had to transform my thinking and be able to understand what it is that God needed me to do. And so for me, I'm grateful and thankful that I had a willing spirit to be able to learn whatever it is I needed to learn to be an instant parent. Because I didn't know how to parent. I didn't know what to expect. And God forbid, like I was, that their teenagers weigh in to their teenage years, that it makes it even more difficult because they're all already set in their way. But how many of us know that wherever there's a will, there's a way, that God would never put more on us than we can bear? How many of us know that if you desire to have that in your heart, to be a loving parent to that child that you married into, that God will provide that for you as well? Because he said that we could do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens him. But one of the things I will say, when we began to have children, if you're not in a blended family and you go from being without children to now having children, because God said, go out there and be fruitful and multiply. When he allowed you to become in holy matrimony, that's one of the things he wanted us to do. But let us be reminded, one of the things that we are to make sure we do not do, when it says in Exodus 20:12, it tells us in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and mother so that you may live long life in the land of in the Lord your God is giving you. In the land the Lord your God is giving you. So we got to teach our children this. Because if we don't teach our children this, guess what? They can grow up. They can have some issues simply because they're not doing what the word has said. And so we got to constantly remind them that they must honor their mother and father. It's very important. And so I just want to thank God again that he's going to give us all the ability to be able to do the things we need to do. We got to understand that all of our children are truly honored, and they're a gift from God. And so based on a gift, you cherish that gift. You love on that gift. And we got to know that that children, as they are an inheritance of God, we got to say to them, there's certain things that we got to do to make sure that you're brought up in the way in which you should go. And as fathers and as mothers, I'll say both of us, we are not to provoke our children. Otherwise, they'll be discouraged. We don't want our children to be discouraged. So do our part to make sure that when the children come in, it's not just about you as a mother or you as a father that's doing all the disciplining. Now you got to transform it once again to figure out how can you parent together. Do just that. And then last but not least, I think about, you know, when we think about being a professional and we're out in the workplace, but then there's also responsibilities in the home. There's responsibilities in the home. Only thing I would say in this area is we got to support one another out in the workplace. We got to support one another in the household. And one of the things I will say is when you're coming together in holy matrimony, then what you need to do is to be clear about what kind of help you need. Yes, a lot of the responsibilities in the household are a lot of times given upon the responsibility of the wife or the mother. And it doesn't always have to be there. Just be clear. Write it out. Know exactly what you want to do. But don't expect your partner to do things the same way you do, your spouse. Don't expect your spouse to be able to accomplish everything you do. Women have a tendency to multitask far more so than men ever have. So if you find yourself multitasking, you can do 5 to 10 things at one time, do it. But don't expect your spouse to do it. Whatever you do, do everything in love and understand that we are all now one versus we are in oneness. So instead of us being single, we're married now. Instead of us being, you know, it's mine, it's ours. And the sooner we can think in that regard, the better we'll be. May God bless each and every one of you. And I pray that you all take the opportunity to go through the process of personal transformation.
Amen. Powerful. We praise God for the prophetic utterance of my queen. You know, transformation, we sometimes know from the world of biology, is something also called metamorphosis. So it's, if you could imagine your body changing its shape and things it could do, you might start out walking on the ground with 2 legs and then later develop wings to fly. You know, that really happens because when we're born, we can't walk. We can't talk. We're totally dependent on another human being. Most of the time, our mothers, but oftentimes, of course, mother and fathers. And they are in nature. Some things that they're considered to be perfect, metamorphosis. And metamorphosis itself, it means transformation. They say it comes from the Greek. There are a lot of examples that we look at who perform or go through the complete metamorphosis. Beetles, flies, ants, butterflies, fleas. And then there are others that are incomplete, according to crickets, grasshoppers, cockroaches, termites, dragonflies, etc. We as human beings, whether we realize it or not, we also can go through complete or incomplete metamorphosis or complete or incomplete transformation. See, there is a way we can measure and gauge all of that. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And when we think about the fruit of the Spirit as it relates to marriage, we have an opportunity to deploy all nine of the dimensions that make up the fruit of the Spirit. We know what they are: love, love being the strongest force of the universe; joy, no emotion provides greater personal satisfaction than the joy of the moment or the joy of success; peace, peace defines what we see in the need in America and around the world, and especially in our spouses. Peace. We all desire peace. We all are peacemakers, true sons and daughters of God. Patience. The dimension we have shown most in response to demonic treatment is when someone may be under the influence or demonic influence. Demonic treatment, we need patience. Goodness is the greatest gift we can give to our spouse. And kindness is the greatest response we can make in retaliation to each other. Faithfulness is the great framework necessary for oneness. Gentleness itself is the only way to success and integration as we go through the transformation process. And we know with self-control, no weapon formed against us can prosper, regardless of where that weapon may come from or how the enemy may rise its head. When we walk in self-control, we walk in power. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence that we need and we have to show to the world and to show to our spouse that we have embraced the process of transformation. And we know and understand that God has given us the ability to do all things. And as we close tonight, we just want to remind you, we all have an opportunity to go through the complete metamorphosis in the concept and in the reality of marriage. God called us and gave us an opportunity to come together with another human being, that we will leave our mother and our father, we'll come together, we will cleave together and become one flesh. It's our hope and our desire tonight that God will give you that desire, that he will satisfy that dream that you have. Father, we praise you for these men and women who come here live tonight and those that would also listen in the archives, that you might bless them over, above, and beyond anything they have ever hoped for, imagined, or dreamed. At 9 o'clock, dial back in to our sister Leah Killens, Empowerment Ministries. On Wednesday, catch our brother William J. Van Jr., Elder Jason Phillips. On Thursday, Pastor George Flint, his lovely wife Maria. On Saturdays, Mrs. Mama Flint herself. On Sundays, Amos Joseph Collins. Dial back in. Go to Blog Talk Radio Mega Ministry Group and get all of the lineup. Until then, God bless you richly in all that you do.
Agape love.